SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. Good morning. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. Happy Friday, Kevin. It just dawned on me that we don't have any NFL to watch this weekend, and I'm kind of upset about it.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit of a different vibe. You know, typically here on the Early Line, Dan had always been labeling it a football Friday. We're going to still get into some football here on a Friday, but it is wild to think next week's show, I mean, it'll be just all Super Bowl preview. The clock continues to tick.
Yeah, and we're going to get into a lot of NFL today. So let's start off with not some breaking news, but sort of Deshaun Watson officially has requested a trade from the Houston Texans. He actually did it weeks ago. It's reported that their new head coach hire, David Culley, has not and will not alter Watson's thinking. Watson has also not spoken to the new GM, Nick Caserio. What are your initial thoughts on this, Kevin?
You know, I want to start with kind of something that you mentioned there, is that this is somewhat breaking news because apparently the trade request had been in for a while now, just wasn't public. And that was odd to me that was made known by all of the top reporters in the NFL, your Adam Schefters, your Ian Rappaport's, Tom Pelissero. They all kind of made this point that, you know, all what was known behind closed doors is now public. But it's odd because I feel like we all knew
It was public almost.
I agree. I thought it was public as well. Because you know how this works, right, Aaron? These reporters are, you know, they're giving us the news, but there's always a little bit of an angle. You know, someone had to call them. Someone is the source, right? Why were they trying to spin this that, like, this has been known for a while, but it's only public today? I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I mean, these reporters, when they get that, they want to break it because, one, it helps media members like us, and it's also great to be the first to report something. But now that it's official, it just was, I think when I saw the tweet, I initially was like, this is a little odd. I thought that this was already known, but we'll see what continues to break in terms of this. But if Watson, you know, does start to opt out of mandatory team activities, let's get into some numbers here that he could miss. So let's say he does miss training camp, but at a cost, okay? Houston's leverage here is that if he decides to not show up, they can fine him $98,877 for missing minicamp. They can fine him $50,000 per day in each of the training camps missed, plus 1 week salary, $620,000 for each preseason game missed. So, oh, also, if he retires, they could collect $21.6 million, but I don't see him retiring. But what do you think if there's no preseason because of the COVID-19 issues? He might not be out as much money as, you know, they're reporting.
So I think it's very funny now to compare this piece of reporting to what we were just talking about, because I struggled to figure out who did it benefit to acknowledge that this trade request had been in for so long. But this laundry list of ways in which Watson can be held to the fire by the Houston Texans very clearly benefits the Houston Texans. It creates an illusion of leverage, except in my opinion, it is 100% irrelevant. I think it is so irrelevant. All of those key dates there come after the NFL draft. If the Texans are going to trade Deshaun Watson, Aaron, in my belief, they will have it done before the NFL draft. I think that is very important for them to be able to make their selections come draft day.
And welcome in our radio listeners here on SiriusXM Channel 204. You're listening to The Early Line. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We're talking about Deshaun Watson and some of the news that has been now available. He officially has requested a trade. It's been reported. Kevin, I want to kind of talk about, what does this scream, though, for the Texans, that one of the best quarterbacks doesn't want to be there? And then on top of that, you have fans who are Texans fans that are happy that he's, you know, potentially going to leave. They're happy for him as a player because they know that the Texans organization is not doing him any justice as a player.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the weirdest thing of all of this. Very
like, imagine if you and I were marching down the street about a quarterback that was as good as Deshaun Watson being like, let's go get out of the Eagles. Like, I could never imagine doing
ever.
That.
I would never do that.
Ever. I
would
be
heartbroken if a player like Deshaun Watson. I mean, I'm upset that Wentz wants out. Like, I'm upset about that.
Well, we disagree on that.
Deshaun Watson, who was like, oh, yeah, like, get me out of here. And it's so crazy because, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of people that fit the profile of both a Houston Rockets fan and a Houston Texans fan. And there was certainly no parade or march for James Harden saying, oh, we understand, Jimmy, that you want to get out of here, pal. We get it. You go thrive in Brooklyn. Like, that. None of that was happening. But the Texans are in such a bad position. And this really all seemingly, you know, goes back to when Bill O'Brien took over as the coach / general manager. What he did as a general manager was just malpractice at every point and turn, the way he handled the Laramie Tunsil trade, which is why the Dolphins are one of the top teams, because they own the Texans pick this year. That is third overall. The way he handled the DeAndre Hopkins trade was completely abysmal.
That was brutal.
I mean, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. And the fact that this
It's the worst trade of all time, I think.
And they fired Bill O'Brien. Like, they were the first team that had a head coach opening, and they were the last team to fill it because they just don't know whether they're coming or going. To describe the Houston Texans as a mess might be generous.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, when there's that much going on behind the scenes with Deshaun Watson and the GM and the head coach, you know, it gets to a point where it's like, as a player, you don't even want to deal with that. You just want to play good on the field, and he was playing good on the field, so it's going to be interesting to see where he comes or goes next. Coming up, we're going to talk about Watson, some of his career highs, career lows. Stay with us here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and happy Friday to everyone. We're talking this morning about Deshaun Watson. He did officially request a trade from the Texans. I want to get into his career highs this season in passing yards, touchdowns, and completion percentages. He threw a career low 7 interceptions. His 33 touchdowns and over 4,800 passing yards were a single season franchise record. In 2020, Watson completed at least 70% of his passes. Now, the odds for Watson on where he will land next have shifted on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You can bet on this market in Colorado. So the Texans still sit favored in this market, going from plus 120 to plus 150. The Dolphins moved from plus 550 to plus 250, and the Jets moved to third to plus 350. So, Kevin, is it a fair question to ask you, why are the Texans still favored in this market, granted that now it is completely official that Deshaun Watson wants out?
I think it is fair. I do believe it's a fair question to wonder why. We are seeing their odds move back a bit. I do think, though, Aaron, it speaks to, I guess, it reminds us that somebody is still going to have to blow the Texans away to get this done, which I think will happen, right? We're making a bit of an assumption of that, and when we're betting the other teams in this market, that someone is going to have to blow the Texans away. But and maybe the reason the Texans are still the favorites more than anything is the FanDuel Sportsbook is really struggling to figure out who has the inside track versus the rest of the teams that are going to be calling the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that all of these teams would be jumping at a player like Deshaun Watson. What do you think it's going to take for a team to actually get the deal done? Where do you think he goes to a team where there's a veteran offense, or do you think he goes and rebuilds with somebody? It's not a case where it's Aaron Rodgers and he has to win right away. He obviously can be built around for a few years, but the talent is there.
So I think that's one of the key questions that we're all going to be trying to figure out. What is the asking price? What is it going to take to get this thing done? And recently, Bill Barnwell of ESPN, one of their NFL writers, one of the best NFL writers really in the whole world that covers this league, put together a long article talking about not only who would trade for Watson, but what they would need to give up. And kind of that baseline was three first round picks. And there, for me, as I was reading through this article, I had three main takeaways that I want to present to you and our audience, Aaron, and see what you think of those. The first one is that this article is labeled 17 Deshaun Watson trade proposals. 17 is that key number there. You know, a lot of us believe that both the Jets and the Dolphins are the only two teams in this conversation. And that, I think, is a mistake. Let me see if I can make a cross-sport analogy here. You know, and I think there's a multiple sports that there are examples of this. You know, the Yankees, for a while, whenever any player would be available on the trade market, they would be linked because they would have the best assets that they could offer that team that was looking to move on from one of their players. But the issue the Yankees would run into is if this player, whomever was going to be traded, was with the going rate was three top prospects. Whenever the Yankees would get on the phone call, the Yankees would be asked for three top prospects, but one of the quote-unquote prospects was all-star Gleyber Torres. Like, what are you talking about here? Well, how is someone giving you a bunch of 18-year-olds in single-A baseball and you want our starting second baseman? Like, that doesn't make any sense. This would happen with the Celtics. The Celtics and their treasure chest of assets would be linked to Jimmy Butler and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis. But they could never get a deal done because when they would call, not only would they need to give up three first-round picks, but they had to tack on Jaylen Brown. And they'd be like, what do you... How is that possible? Just because we have all of these assets doesn't mean that we have to be the ones to give you this deal. So the reason I bring that up here is, yes, the Jets have the most to give them. The Dolphins have the most to give them. But if the Dolphins get a phone call, right, and they find out that the Panthers are being asked to give up the eighth overall pick and two other first-round selections, and then the Texans say, hey, we're going to need the third overall pick, two other first-round picks, and Tua Tagovailoa, that doesn't work. And that's what I think will be interesting to follow, Aaron, here is, yeah, the Jets and the Dolphins have the best assets, but that doesn't automatically mean they're the only ones that can get a deal done.
Yeah, and unfortunately, with getting deals done, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if the Texans completely blow this anyways. I mean, if they couldn't handle Deshaun Watson, who is obviously so great on the field, I don't see many things off the field that they have an issue with. Who is it that's going to even want to go there? Obviously, these teams are going to send what they can to get him. Granted, if they do everything they can to get Deshaun Watson. But I think what's interesting overall, this overarching narrative, is just how many quarterbacks are up for grabs, how many trades there's going to be. Yeah. It's going to completely affect in betting the futures markets, the teams, you know, divisional odds and whatnot. It's kind of crazy to see. I don't know if this is, you know, every year we don't have this many quarterbacks that are up for grabs and so many things that could change. If Deshaun Watson, you know, goes to a different team, which we're expecting he will, it could completely change the whole landscape depending on where he goes.
100%. And one of the second takeaways that I had from this article was the Dallas Cowboys. And the Dallas Cowboys landed 13th most likely to get the deal done. So that's, you know, on the lower end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
But, man, I was looking through this and, you know, you talk about quarterbacks and possible movement. Yeah, we know that, you know, the Patriots are moving on from Cam Newton. And we know the Detroit Lions are moving on from Matthew Stafford. The Dallas Cowboys, for a lot of people, they don't think it's an unknown. They believe it's going to be Dak Prescott. But is it going to be Dak Prescott? I mean, these two sides have not been able to get a deal done just yet. If you think about it from the Houston Texans standpoint, if they worked a deal around Watson for Dak Prescott, the Cowboys would still have to send them some draft compensation. The Cowboys have the 10th overall pick in this draft. But Dak Prescott is a franchise-level quarterback. He absolutely is. And the Texans, if they moved on from Watson, would have the money to be able to pay Dak Prescott and perhaps would be more willing to do so, Aaron, than the Dallas Cowboys are. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys, well, Deshaun Watson makes you now a real contender to come out of the NFC. I think this could be, you know, the two teams from Texas, I think maybe they could get on the phone and talk about a quarterback swap.
That would be wild. And if we had to watch Deshaun Watson go against Carson Wentz, I would be very, very, very concerned. But one other point that we were talking about earlier before the show that I want to kind of mention is we get the Deshaun Watson Wentz out, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of shakeup in the NFL. But what about the other players that are on the Texans team? I mean, you see Deshaun Watson, one of the best players. I went out. I would immediately, as a player, be like, this is really, really bad. If I was an agent, I'd be like, I don't want my player going right now to the Texans. It seems from the GM to the coaches, it is a complete nightmare. What do you think happens to them overall as a team? Let's even say, you know, they do get Dak Prescott. It doesn't change the coach. It doesn't change the GM, who potentially might just have the same problems with the new quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's it's a great point, Aaron. And I think that's why draft compensation is going to be so important for this team. Right? Because, you know, you take those high-end players and they're part of your roster pretty much regardless, as long as you can kind of, you know, figure out that rookie contract, right? And that's very likely to be the case. And yeah, they'll have money. And at the end of the day, you know, these players in the league, like, they need security, they want jobs. And if the Texans are offering the best deal, then that might be where they go. But if some of these things are on the margin, those star players might not want to be there. And more to your point, those players that are inside the organization now, right? Will Fuller's a free agent. Nobody thinks he's going back. J.J. Watt could possibly be leaving the Houston Texans. And that's why we're thinking that maybe the Texans shouldn't be favored in this market.
Yep, and we'll talk more about that market a little bit later in the show. Stay with us here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. Happy Friday to everybody listening, and thanks so much for joining us this morning. We were just talking about Deshaun Watson. He has officially requested a trade. We're going to talk about his odds that are in Colorado. You can bet on where he will take his next snap. The Dolphins actually jumped in front of the Jets. Kevin, I know you wanted to make one final point on this, so what are your thoughts on the Dolphins moving up on the board?
Yeah, when I saw that Deshaun Watson and that news broke that he officially had requested the trade, I was, you know, excitedly refreshing, just wanted to see how the markets would move. And, you know, some of the Texans' numbers dropped, but the Dolphins jumped the Jets. And I was trying to figure out why would that be. And then I started reading again this article that we're mentioning here on ESPN, written by Bill Barnwell, and lo and behold, the Miami Dolphins. In his opinion, the number one destination for Watson. Thinks it makes the most sense for both sides. Believe that they have the most to offer while being an incredibly attractive option for Watson. Just from a roster standpoint, Brian Flores, a lot of good things that Miami brings to the table. And I just think that is something to note for people here when we're breaking down these markets. Right now, we're still in the early stages here. We do not have a ton of information as it pertains to who is the most aggressive, who do the Texans value in terms of returns, draft picks, real players in this league, right? And also, how long is the Deshaun Watson list? A lot of people are comparing what Watson is doing to what NBA players do. Well, what we've seen from NBA players, that list, remember James Harden this year, Brooklyn, Philly, Miami, Toronto, Milwaukee, Denver, those were the teams that were on the list. What does a Deshaun Watson list look like, considering he has that no trade clause? I wanted to make this point because I think there's a world, Aaron, in which part of the reason the Dolphins moved up, people were reading this article. And you might think that sounds silly, but what else are we going off of?
No,
I think this very well could have been a driving force to the Dolphins finding themselves now the second choice on the board.
Yeah, and I think the news around this whole situation is a little interesting. We mentioned earlier in the show that now it's been officially reported that he did this weeks ago, requested a trade. But we were hearing through the grapevine and on Twitter that it was kind of happening, but it did officially happen before we even found out about it. And you made a great point in the last segment that the Dallas Cowboys could potentially be a place where he finds a home. They wrote about that in the ESPN article. I just wanted to tell the odds for that. That's 50-1 right now. So maybe there's a team out there like the Cowboys that are surprising and a place that he goes, just like how you just talked about James Harden. I did not see him going to the Nets whatsoever, so we might have some surprises there.
Sure. Yeah, I think, I mean,
all right, look, let's get in.
It's a big, I just want to say that's a big number on the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that is a, it's, you know, you throw a dollar down.
Throw 10 bucks on it right now, just in case.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think we're going to, you know, find out where Deshaun Watson goes overnight either. I think this is going to take a while, but do you see the draft happening before we even find out where he goes? So these odds could be shifting throughout the, you know, upcoming weeks.
I think that the deal will need to be done before the NFL draft, because I believe this year's NFL draft, those picks to be a major driving force for the Houston Texans and kind of who wins this battle. The 8th pick, the 10th pick, the 2nd pick, all these teams are going to be trying to make this move.
And let's say that a team, not to get a little sidetracked here, a team does give up a few first-round picks, second-round picks. Mm-hmm. How important is that, let's say, just to get Deshaun Watson in the upcoming years when they don't have those picks coming up? How does that impact the quarterback and the team?
Well, I think for – so if you're – let's just maybe use the Carolina Panthers, right? If you're the Panthers and you make this move and you bring in Deshaun Watson and you send out what you have this year in the 8th selection plus – 2 future first rounders, and it wouldn't, and you know, they're probably, you know, Teddy Bridgewater maybe gets moved in that deal. Now, you're hoping that the quarterback play that you can get from Deshaun Watson is enough to make up for other spots on the roster where you're not as strong. That's the reason why quarterbacks are paid the most money. That's the reason why they're the most important players, is they can cover up some of your warts. And the Panthers do have some warts. They have some spots there. So really, it is paramount that basically you get what you're paying for. Because what you're paying for is a top 5 quarterback. It's paramount that when you bring Watson into your offense, he remains at that level of play.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that Deshaun Watson will want to play at that high caliber level. Let's get into another quarterback that some news broke yesterday. Art Rooney of the Steelers said that Big Ben wants to come back, and he's told the team that, but they can't do it under his current salary due to the COVID-19 salary cap. There's a decrease there. They said that they left the door open if they can agree on a salary that fits for Ben and the Steelers. Do you think that, you know, they can get this done?
Apparently, it looks like they can. It looks like they can, because Big Ben is seemingly very understandable that his $41 million cap hit is unacceptable.
It's high.
I mean, it is an unacceptable cap hit for most quarterbacks, certainly somebody like Big Ben Roethlisberger at this point in his career. He's going to be 39 by the time we start next season. Isn't coming off of a banner season either. But I think the willingness of Big Ben to restructure, I think who the Steelers organization is in terms of how they value longevity, how they value tenure. Again, this team has had, I think it's less than 5 head coaches in the existence of their organization. I think that they will be willing to bring Big Ben back at a discount. The key here is the fact that Big Ben is like, yep, cool, no problem, I'll play for whatever, and let me just get one more chance to go out there and make a Super Bowl run.
And do you think, given his age and how this season played out, obviously they were undefeated for a long time, then they didn't do well down the stretch, do you think he can get it done, or do you think the Steelers are better off potentially using their backup, Mason Rudolph? I know they also signed Dwayne Haskins. Do you think that they would have used one of them had Ben said, you know what, I've had a great run here, we didn't make it this year, I'm not the best fit for this? Because he's not insinuating that by taking whatever he can get. If I was in his position, I'd want to stay with the Steelers because he's been there so long. Finish out your career where you started. That's obviously a preference of a player. I mean, Tom Brady obviously didn't finish out in New England. He's the best of all time. But I just think in his situation with his family there and everything, it makes sense for him to stay with the Steelers. But do you think taking a decrease in salary like that, given everything else that's going on with COVID, is kind of an alarm of, hey, I just want to play one more year. Just mm-hmm. I'm going to wait till the backup comes in, potentially maybe 2 or 3 years down the road.
Yeah, I think Big Ben understands that the clock is ticking. I think when you evaluate mm-hmm. his play this year, it's hard to feel like that would be the best option the Steelers would have available to themselves. You know, just by quarterback rating, he was 22nd in the NFL. Daniel Jones was 20th. Mitchell Trubisky was 21st. I mean, that's, you know, kind of speaks volumes to Big Ben. He's just, at this point in his career, not mobile mm-hmm. at all. Yep. Doesn't seem to, you know, be accurate. The one thing, Aaron, that I guess Big Ben would have going for him in terms of, hey, listen, next mm-hmm. year will be better, is this year he was coming off of an injury. He was coming off missing a full yep, season the year before. Mm-hmm. As he gets older, I mean, is he really going to be able to play a full 16 back-to-back mm-hmm. seasons? That's I'm sure there are people who would think no, but I think that would be the argument. That the play you got from Big Ben this year will get better, not worse. I think him playing the same level would really mm-hmm. be the best case scenario for this team. But I understand the argument / belief that there is still better quarterback play that Big Ben could provide them. Mm-hmm.
Do you think his offensive line and defensive line can support him, even if he does have a decrease in play? Even though you're expecting an increase, yeah. do you think he still has the weapons on the team to just kind of get them through the season? I mean, they could come out with a Super Bowl next year for all I know. I'm just making the case of, well, I don't see that exactly happening, but...
This is the problem. You know, if you rank, and I saw someone the other day on Twitter, I believe it was Scott Barrett, who does a really nice job with fantasy football. And he was just kind of just someone just posing an idea. Because if I were to rank rosters, removing the quarterback, I think the first mm-hmm. roster he had in the NFL was the Rams. I think the Chiefs were third. And I think the Steelers came in second on that list. And Pittsburgh Steelers, mm-hmm. very good roster. And that, for anything that you could kind of spin, like, hey, listen, we think we can get some good stuff here out of Big Ben, that's the worry. We know this with this league.
Yeah.
The windows are not that big. There's constant movement. And the Philadelphia Eagles won a Super Bowl in 2017. They are now in cap hell. Doug Peterson is gone, and Wentz could very well follow. These things don't.
We'll take
last
your moment when you
forever.
Can.
Exactly. And the Steelers...
So do you think that they need to now then? That's what I'm not trying to come out and say get rid of Big Ben because he's such a great quarterback. But at the same time, it's like if you have that great offensive line, defensive line, get that quarterback in there, even if it's a one-year contract, and get it done as a franchise.
I think if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you tell Big Ben, hey, listen, we're going to be honest with you. We'd love to have you back if it makes sense. We appreciate you being willing to restructure your contract. You know, all parties would love for you to finish your career as a Pittsburgh Steeler. But we got to do our due diligence. We got to figure out what that going rate for Matthew Stafford is. We got to figure out what would it look like if we wanted to get involved in these Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. What if Jameis Winston costs us, you know, only $3 million somehow, some way? I mean, that's what he went for last year. What if we could get involved in the draft? I think if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, because of how good this roster is, you need to leave no mm-hmm. stone unturned this offseason.
Agreed. All right, guys, stay with us here on the Early Line on SiriusXM Channel 204. We'll be right back.
Coming at you all day.
Every day.
With more attitude than other lesser networks would deem appropriate. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Welcome back to the Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. Happy Friday, everybody. There was some breaking news overnight. So the former Mississippi State linebacker and Chiefs rookie linebacker Willie Gay has emergency surgery on a torn meniscus after injuring his knee in Thursday's practice. What a shame that you had the chance to play in the Super Bowl, Kevin, and then this happens in a practice on Thursday, almost just 9 days out from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's got to be crushing. Similarly, Eric Fisher tore his Achilles in that game against the Buffalo Bills. So the Kansas City Chiefs seemingly getting more injured as opposed to trying to get healthier as we, you know, have this kind of week off for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be one of the big things, I think, you know, really. Again, next week, we're going to still, you know, break down the rest of the sports world. I mean, we're getting, you know, down to the nitty gritty with the Super Bowl. And I think each and every day, that injury report, we're going to be trying to see who's in, who's out, who's 100%. What's Mahomes' toe look like? What's going to be replaced? You know, who's going to be replacing Eric Fisher on the Tampa Bay Bucs side of things? Is Mike Evans okay? I just always wonder if Mike Evans is okay. A guy feels like he's been banged up all season long. Antonio Brown, you coming back? Ronald Jones, we in, we out. What's the deal here? These are going to be the things that we're going to have to follow as we get closer and closer to the big day.
Yeah, and I'm excited for the big day. I cannot wait for this matchup. But I want to talk about one comment that Tom Brady made yesterday in a press conference. He said, everyone wants to win for loyal Bruce Arians. I thought it was a little interesting that he threw in the word loyal. Is this a dig at Bill Belichick when it comes down to it? It's one word. Maybe I'm overthinking it a little bit. But it kind of, that sounds a little bit like a dig.
I had not seen this quote. You brought it to my attention. And when you said, you were like, am I reaching here? I don't think so at all. I think it's absolutely maybe a little bit of a pot shot at his former head coach in Bill Belichick. Because one of the things that Belichick has this, one of the weirdest things about Bill to me is he gets credit for things that feel so obvious. They're like, oh, Bill Belichick's amazing because he makes you, he takes away your best player. It's like, why does everybody not take away the opponent's best player? Oh, Belichick is so smart because he always tries to score right before the first half is over. Why would everybody?
Why is everybody should be doing that?
First half is over. Like, he gets credit for these wild things. One of those other things Belichick gets credit for. Oh, he's so smart because he trades people before they stink. That's what you should do. But that is that, like, us in the media will be like, wow, Belichick knew it was time to get rid of Gerard May, whomever it might be, right? Oh, he knew it was time to get rid of Trey Flowers and let him go to Detroit. Like, he knows when. Sure, that's great, except the players at times, that will rub them the wrong way. I mean, there's a reason why 100%. Not only Tom Brady is in Tampa Bay, but Rob Gronkowski is in Tampa Bay and didn't play for a full season in New England and only came back because Brady left Foxborough. I
probably convinced
him there.
It's a little bit of a shock. Yeah, and I don't think this, I know I've seen articles come out like about, you know, Bill Belichick versus Tom Brady this season. You can't compare them this season. I feel like with Cam Newton, everything that's going on, Tom Brady was the best for so long in the AFC East, and, you know, give Bill a little bit more time here. But you make a good point. You know, if you're not loyal to your players, eventually they're not going to be loyal to you. But I want to talk about the numbers for this game. The Chiefs are favored by 3 in this. The total is a 56.5. It's remained relatively consistent throughout the week. We saw Chiefs minus 3.5 as the highest. The AFC teams have won 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls. But 3 of those 5 are by Tom Brady when he played for the Patriots. So I don't think you should factor this trend into your betting strategy here. I've seen it in a couple articles, but what they don't add is but 3 of those 5 are by Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Right, and I think that stat right there kind of shows you have to be very careful with your trends. Very, very careful.
Yep.
Because
a lot of times...
you can manipulate, oh, let me add this qualifier. Mm-hmm. Oh, since 2013, what happened in 2012? Like, you can kind of manipulate certain things to fit your narrative. So that stat right there, I can give it to you pro Chiefs, or I can just say Brady, and now it's pro Bucks, and it's the same exact statistic.
Yep, that's a great point. And I think with the manipulation of, you know, some certain stats and trends, I think personally, going back to 2010, 11, 12, 13, like you go back years and you go historically the last 20 years, I don't think that matters. To me, what matters is the last couple games they played, the injury report, what is currently available, the information. I don't really think stats and trends matter as much in, you know, betting as much of an emphasis that we put on them. If you look on paper, we're like, all right, you know what? Chiefs offense is insane. They're winning 100%. If you look at the trend and you take that, you know, five of the last six, you're like, oh, easy. I'm going to put $1,000 in the Chiefs. But there's so much more that goes into it. So definitely be cautious when you're reading about trends and, you know, looking at things against the spread in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Make sure you actually do your due diligence and look into other factors, like I just mentioned, the injury report and other available information.
And just to piggyback on that idea, we're going to get into some of these props that are available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Like more props than you could ever imagine. And one of those props that I was taking a look at yesterday was the longest touchdown in this game. It was over under 46.5 yards.
Yeah, that was an interesting one.
Right? So I'm doing a little bit of research here, right? So if I were to tell you that only once over the last six Super Bowls has there been a touchdown of that length, and that touchdown happened to be an 82-yard pick six, that's an interesting number. Tells me maybe to play the under. Yep. Seemingly Super Bowl, we don't have long touchdowns. But what if I told you that the Bucs have now given up a touchdown of 50 yards or better two games in a row, and when these teams met back in Week 12, the Chiefs scored a 75-yard touchdown with Tyreek Hill?
Exactly.
Which one matters more? Oh, I would say the one that has to do with this year's Tampa Bay Bucs team that's giving up 50-yard touchdowns. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it's just, to reiterate, it's just you have to look at the trends and look at the opposite side of a stat almost. You know, don't just read the most trending articles and be like, oh, this is the trend of the day. Because I'm going to tell you next week, there's going to be a new trend every single day. And yes, it will start to affect the line as we get closer. But also, you know, when news breaks, like, you know, today we had the meniscus tear and whatnot. But more news is going to break and eventually the line's going to swing a certain way, or maybe it will remain consistent. I don't expect that. But, you know, there's certain ways to best bet the Super Bowl. And I was thinking about this last night. So usually you have the current NFL week, which is 7 days. So Tuesday, the lines are going to be, you know, posted. They're going to be picked through a little bit. And then by Thursday, they're sharper. And then by Sunday, they're the sharpest they can be. In this case, we have 2 weeks. So the line, I'm assuming, is going to remain consistent for a while until more information becomes available next week, if there's more injuries and whatnot. My best time personally, Kevin, that I would want to bet on this would maybe be around next Thursday, unless something crazy breaks. Right now, it's Chiefs minus 3, and 3 is a key number in the NFL because games end 15% of the time on a 3. I wouldn't want to push if I'm betting on the Super Bowl. I like the Bucks in this, so I'd rather get them at plus 3.5 or plus 4, let's say, if the Chiefs get bet up. Hopefully that line doesn't reverse because I do like the Chiefs and I want to get them as the underdog here. But when would you, what's your ideal time for betting on the spread or total? I'm not talking about player props because those are going to be bet on consistently. But what is your ideal timeline next week?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I think in terms of side and total, I have a personal preference. I like to personally bet day of. I understand.
I don't mind that. People always say don't do that, but I had a lot of success during the NFL season betting during the day or in the first quarter for a comeback. Those are my two biggest ways to profit.
I understand those in this business, right? Your professional sports gamblers, why they get early lines. They're first to the number. They beat that opening number. They get their CLV, and they win consistently. I am not discrediting that. I can only speak to my personal preference. And I feel more comfortable getting to the window on that day of, because I want to watch all of the movement. And I will tell you, during this season, there was a lot of times where I would, and this is the thing. Now, it doesn't mean that I start breaking things down that Sunday, right? But there were plenty of times in which I had something circled that I would like on a Tuesday. And by the time we got to Sunday, the way the number moved, I just passed on the game. I will admit, You know, you're not going to pass on the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl. So yeah. Maybe I end up someone that likes the Chiefs. I have to pay for 3.5, or my money line goes up, or my total goes the wrong way. I am 100% acknowledging that. I'm only speaking to my personal preference. And I do want to, though, comment on something you said about the player props, right? Because I know you're talking about sides and totals here. Sides and totals, people can kind of debate when they want to get in, when they don't, right? But player props, it's a whole different ballgame. Holden Kushner, who works here on this network, we do some in-game lines with him. Maybe we'll see if he can stop by with us next week and talk a little bit about this. He bets props immediately. As soon as they're out, he is clicking them. He already, I was talking to him yesterday on in-game live, he is already positioned throughout the props market. And I can't tell you how many NFL Sundays he goes, yeah, I like Davante Adams. I got the opening number at 75.5. I know it closed here at 86.5. You probably lost your value. I mean, you can beat these numbers so early.
As soon as they drop.
When they drop, you want a piece of them. If you want to wait on the side, you want to wait on the total, I'm with you. Me too. But in the props market, if you like something, and maybe you only put it down half of your unit because you don't want to go full unit a week out, that's fine. But you can get to the window on props now because, to me, Aaron, props move so much.
So quick.
So much throughout the week.
No, I agree with you.
Especially to the over. Especially to the over. Because that's what people like to click in the props market.
Yeah, and if you are betting on the spread and the total, it's going to be one of the sharpest numbers you have because it's one isolated game, whereas on, you know, a normal NFL regular season game or the games that are happening, you know, on Sunday or even Monday, Thursday, it's just the fact that there's so many games and it's harder to price everything exactly the way, you know, you're expecting it. Like, this game is going to have the sharpest money is going to move the line, and you have to wait for that. It's not going to be the public betting all this money on one side and it shifts. It's going to be definitely a sharp line. So I think going into the props is a great way, and like you said, they continue to move. I've seen movement all week on things that have just dropped, so just keep an eye, maybe once a day, start checking on which new props become available. Be like, oh, you know what, I like that, I'm going to get that at that value, because what's going to happen is it is going to increase, and then you're really going to regret not getting it on those props market. So maybe you can find better value, you know, on the props. And I know we wanted to talk about some of our favorite ones. Kevin and I are going to pick three of them right now. On the FanDuel Sportsbook, they have QB props for scoring props, they have gameplay props, coin toss, kick and punt. Have you ever bet on the coin toss?
Oh, yeah.
Is that something you ever bet on?
Listen,
you're going to bet on everything? Is this one of them?
Oh, I mean, this is the thing. I want to make this point here, okay? Because, again, there are different people in this business who approach things differently. And I understand the people there. Every single dollar they lay down, there needs to be a process. There needs to be value. Do not be that
fun
person.
Ones,
do not be that person that sticks their nose up at people that bet the coin toss. You are not better than anybody else because you don't bet the coin toss. It's the Super Bowl. It is one of the great traditions.
Bet on as
of
much as
betting,
you can.
Is betting the coin toss. You want to bet heads minus 103? You want to bet tails minus 103?
And that's truly 50-50.
Yes, go for
it's
it.
It's truly 50-50.
Go
there.
For it.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think that is one of the funniest bets that you can make right now on FanDuel Sportsbook. But stay with us right here. We're going to talk about our favorite player props coming up next.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't. And wish you had. We are the Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to the Early Line here on SiriusXM Channel 204. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. We're talking all things NFL. We have the big game coming up in 9 days. So excited about this. I'm going to run through right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook some of the markets that are available. Kevin and I were just talking about props and the right ways to bet the Super Bowl, given that, you know, there's a two-week break. So, Kevin, I'm looking on the website right now. Underneath the typical, you know, spread, money line, and total, which you'll see, Kansas City Chiefs are currently minus 3. total 56.5, which is expected. That hasn't seen much movement. You have the correct score. We just talked about the coin toss, one of, you know, just the fun things to bet on. You're no better than anybody else if you do bet or don't bet on this. Correct score, there is some crazy value in this market. I mean, that's obviously one of the hardest things to predict, the correct score, but something that you can, you know, bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, I look, also, too, I guess we would be remiss if we didn't mention, like, the coin. There's a, you said, like, it's quarterback props, scoring, points. There's a coin toss tab, and it is not just
bet on it, guys, even if it's $5.
But look at this. It's coin toss call result, correct or incorrect. So does the person, what they guess, right? Do they get it correct? Coin toss winner wins game. How about that? Yes or no? And then to win the coin toss and then win the game. Like Chiefs plus 205, Bucks plus 370. Like I really, really appreciate this market. I don't think I'll be getting involved in these other drop down tabs here. I think the correct or incorrect market is really funny though. Like, because now you're not even on heads or tails. You're just fading whatever that person is going to guess.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And, I mean, there's so many other things you can bet on. You have money line / total points parlay. You can do first scoring play, alternate spread, alternate total, halftime, full-time results, winning margin, 5 points, bands. I mean, there are so many things you can bet on for this game. I know there are certain people that... You do? All right. Well, we'll get more into our favorite props coming up next after this segment. Please stay with us here on The Early Line.
Live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. Sports Grid. This.